Welcome to the May 2020 Parkinson's Recovery Support Group Gathering. Thank you so much for connecting in and joining us today. Our agenda today will be for me to, first of all, give you just a brief update on activities here at Parkinson's Recovery for this month. I have one wonderful and quite interesting topic and question that had been submitted by a member. As you recall, I always send out emails before our day where we gather together and talk to solicit questions or topics you'd like for me to discuss. Well, we have one quite interesting question and topic that I will also address. We'll then, of course, as is the custom here in our support group gatherings, open up our system here to anybody who'd like to be able to call in and have some one-to-one discussion or group discussion. And then, of course, please, those of you who connected in, there's a chat room box. And so if you have any follow-up issues or questions or other topics you'd like for us to address, you can always type in those issues into the chat box right now. What have I been doing this last month? Well, primarily, I have created on, I think, a really wonderful and user-friendly course platform that offers online courses, three courses that I have offered in the past, or at least recently. The topics are what really matters, and that covers lots of different classes that address the issue of how do you tame down that sympathetic nervous system, which aggravates the symptoms associated with a diagnosis of Parkinson's. There are many, 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 and let me just say dozens and dozens and dozens of approaches, therapies, ideas, inventions, techniques, some of them new, some of them very ancient, that really have proved successful. So the idea there is that if you want to connect in with that particular course experience, every 5 days, I post a new class, a new idea, a new possibility, and the idea is you look at it, you do your own introspection, your own due diligence, and ask your body, is this what my body needs? And if the answer is yes, then you take action because you've got 5 days to be able to make that happen. Or you might decide, no, this is one of those that I don't think I need to follow up on. Some of them are the kinds of activities that you can do all on your own, doesn't require the involvement of any other practitioner. Some of them do involve practitioners. Some of these ideas do involve perhaps acquiring some kind of technology or other kind of method. So we've got a wide variety of approaches. So my idea is I've got a really big diversity of approaches that I'm introducing in each of the classes. And my goal is that you'll find some of those or a combination of these approaches that you find are going to really help you be able to find sustained and long-term relief from whatever symptoms you currently experience. Now, I have two other courses that actually are focusing on some techniques, methods, therapies, natural, of course, not prescription medicines or surgeries because I'm not a medical doctor, but natural techniques, methods, systems, approaches that address two very specific issues. And of course, one of them is issues with mobility. So that course is called Rock Solid Walking. Again, it's an online course, so you can connect in and take the classes at any time you wish. And then the other course is called Tame Tremors. And the subject there is, I guess, very obvious. The idea is we've got lots and lots of approaches and techniques that enable a person to be able to get temporarily from their tremors. So that's not so much ideas and techniques and therapies and approaches that provide healing from the inside out, although there is some of that. It really is designed because we know when tremors are problematic, it creates lots of anxiety. Anxiety creates lots and lots of more tremors and more symptoms. And so it's key, I think, in order to be able to have sustained relief, to be able to get those tremors under control. So that's the third class. Now, why am I giving you a preview? Some of you don't know about these classes, and of course, some of you are taking them. The reason is because I want all of you who are members to know that we've got this discount coupon. So I want you to be sure and apply that if you decide you want to take any of the courses. It's my 2020. It's posted here on, of course, WhatsApp member website page. So you just apply that coupon onto the page. If at down the road you decide you want to take on one of the classes and you can't remember the code, well, just email me. I'm happy to be able to provide that to you. It cost, in the end, only approximately $10 a month, about the same contribution you make here to become a member. So those kind of contributions, those tuition payments, help to cover the many, many expenses that I incur to be able to provide all the free services here at Parkinson's Recovery. So look over those, and if any of those call out to you, then be sure to apply the coupon code. So it's a long way of saying that I spent really every day posting new ideas, new methods, new techniques in each of the courses. It takes a day or two to actually come up with a class and to be able to organize a class. So I've totally and thoroughly enjoyed constructing material and content for each of these three classes. Those of you who are taking the classes, now beware that every 5 days you get new ideas, new approaches. So just keep in mind, if what you've seen in the last class or the previous classes, you say to yourself, boy, this is just not calling out to me. Well, not everything is going to call out to any of us. So just realize you're going to have new ideas, new approaches, new possibilities. And because I'm really working on developing and introducing a wide variety, a true diversity of approaches and techniques and therapies, all of which are natural, that I think will be able to give you a good ability to choose what it is that actually calls out to you. So in the end, and perhaps by way of important summary, keep in mind that it is always the case that we have classes that we introduce. We know that that particular approach is shown to be useful to persons with neurological challenges for a couple of reasons. One, the research shows that to be the case. More commonly, I know that because we have documented that in the interviews or the radio shows that we've conducted over the last couple of decades. So keep in mind, okay, we know it helps some people. And for some of these therapies, we know that it helps a lot of people. It may or may not help you. So one of the kinds of resources that you can always rely on is muscle testing. So if you have a question about, will this therapy help or not, you can always just ask your body, is this going to help me or not? Is this the best choice for me? And so make your choices based on connecting with your own needs, with your own preferences. And I think you'll find you'll make some really quite wonderful choices. So that's really what I've been doing, quite frankly. I've invited a number of guests to be on the radio show, but unfortunately had no success yet. So we're still working on, and many of you give me references of, well, why don't you see if you can get this person or that person as a guest on the show, and I reach out to them, but unfortunately I'm only successful in my invitations for about 1 out of 3 invitations, and people get busy, and I'm, of course, inviting people to be guests who are really very well known for what it is that they do. So many people are just really too busy to take the time to prepare to be a guest on the show and take the time to actually be a guest. Well, let me now move to the question that was submitted and provide some discussion in response to that question. This comes from Debbie, and here it goes. So I'm quoting the email that she sent to me. Dear Robert, I want to thank you for the meditation on Candida. I, like others, have seen information about Candida here and there, but dismissed it for various reasons. And then I realized that you are right on the money. I need to do a Candida cleanse. I had a crazy thought that maybe one of the reasons individuals experiencing Parkinson's symptoms don't feel like themselves, speaking for myself, is because they are not themselves. The fungus has taken possession of their mind and body, basically. Maybe you could talk more about your cleanse and some of your results tomorrow if time allows. Well, of course, I am delighted and pleased to be able to address that as a subject and as a topic. Now, the first announcement is that I have recorded a whole series of meditations on your member websites that address some ideas, some approaches on Candida cleansing that I think you'll find will be very different from probably what you've been exposed to previously. So be sure to connect in if this calls out to you and listen to the longer meditation on the member website page, which is the 30-minute meditation, which is the longer presentation of a Candida cleanse approach. And then, of course, as is our custom here on the websites, we also have the short meditation page. So that's posted Monday through Friday, and it's about a 4-minute, give or take, shorter presentation, a meditation, a suggestion, an idea, a thought for meditation. And all of those, of course, as again is the pattern and custom here on the member websites, will address the whole idea of doing a Candida cleanse. So specifically, I've prepared and recorded some very specific ideas and approaches for you to grab a hold of and to consider how you might be able to approach cleansing your body of a Candida. So let me now just provide an overview of the issue of Candida. Those of you who are connecting in and listening are probably thinking, wait a minute, what I thought we were supposed to be dealing with issues of Parkinson's. What in the world has a person ask a question about Candida? What in the world does that have anything to do with neurological symptoms? Well, I thought the same thing before, as it turns out, about 10 years ago, I realized that there was some information about one individual that was reporting they had been able to become symptom-free as a result of recognizing that her Parkinson's symptoms, and she had a diagnosis of Parkinson's, were actually being caused by a Candida overgrowth, and Candida is another word for yeast. So, of course, I chased after that opportunity and recruited Lydia Epp, EPP, to be a guest on Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show. Her radio show will be posted on the radio show page for members, and all you need to do is to click on the category of Candida, of course, and you'll be able to hear the full interview that I had with Lydia. Now, what was quite fascinating about that interview was that she wound up being a researcher, a macrobiologist. So she was highly talented, highly skilled, and certainly knew all about research. So she began to experience some troubling Parkinson's symptoms and began to ask the question, what's causing these symptoms? A question that I invite, of course, all of my members to ask themselves as well. She investigated and stepped out of the box of thinking, well, the only issue here happens to be some kind of hormone imbalance, and perhaps I don't have enough dopamine, and decided, no, that's not the issue here. It's got to be something else. The next thing that she observed was that her ex-husband had the very same symptoms that she did, and he had been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And then, lo and behold, his new wife wound up getting the very same diagnosis and had the very same symptoms. So Lydia began to think, well, wait a minute here. What are we all doing in common, the three of us? What happens to be our lifetime habit that may be creating the problem here? So she then investigated the possibility, perhaps it was a yeast overgrowth, and did her own research, speaking from a molecular biologist perspective, and she realized there was some very hard, credible evidence that would suggest that if you have a Candida overgrowth, that might and very well could lead to problems that were neurological in nature. And so the surprise of the ending of that story and the ending of that interview wound up being that, unlike most people, Lydia was able to do a Candida cleanse and all of her symptoms all of a sudden vanished. Now, most persons that I've interviewed who have been successfully been able to reverse their symptoms use a combination of approaches or methods. That is, they don't just rely on one kind of an intervention. But for her, it worked. It turned out to be the primary factor that contributed to her symptoms was a Candida overgrowth. You might ask yourself now, okay, maybe not. I've never really heard of this as a factor that might be affecting me. Well, what I would like to suggest is you can use something called a tongue scraper. Now, you can get those at any grocery store around where the toothbrushes are sold. It's just a little device that you can scrape onto your tongue. So you can scrape your tongue, and if you see a residue of sort of white gunk, you've got a Candida overgrowth. Now, if you don't have a tongue scraper, you can more simply do what acupuncturists do, or most of them at any rate, And they'll say, well, stick out your tongue and let me look at your tongue. Now, why are they doing that? Well, if you look at your tongue, and if your tongue is white in color, it's very, very, very likely that you have a candida overgrowth. Now, if it's more red, that is the color of skin tone, then you're probably not in a situation where you have an overgrowth of candida. Now, notice I keep saying overgrowth. Now, everybody has candida or yeast in their body. So when you do a cleanse, the idea is not that you're going to be successful in getting rid of all the candida, and that's really not what you want to do. The key is it is an overgrowth. So you want to be able to reduce the infestation of candida. So let's now expand this topic and introduce what really does happen. Candida, actually, especially when there is an overgrowth, which, by the way, leaks into all of the nooks and crannies and crevices of your body, into your organs. So a lot of people think, well, it's just a digestive issue. Yes, it is digestive. There's no doubt about that. If you've got constipation, very likely you probably have a candida issue. If you have a leaky gut, guess what? It's probably candida is involved with that as well. But those candida, I mean, they begin to crawl all over your body into, as well, your brain. But what really happens when there's an overgrowth is that the candida transforms into some aggressive little living critters, and they release over 80 different toxic substances. And again, these toxins can move anywhere into the body, your liver, your colon, your kidneys. If you're having trouble doing these detoxes, it may be that the organs have been so toxic because of the candida that you're just not going to be successful with any detox that you try until you get rid of the candida. And of course, as a result, your immune system is suppressed and you have a lot of other health issues as well. So when we think about Parkinson's, we know that toxics exposure is a big factor in creating these symptoms. And so if this is going to create that many toxins, obviously this is an issue that you need to be able to take serious consideration of. So what are the symptoms of this? Well, how do you feel? Do you have headaches, brain fog? Are you a bit dizzy? Do you have a lot of sweating? Do you have a low fever? Most importantly, are you craving sweets and sugar? Do you have low mood? Do you have some pain, perhaps some joint or muscle pain? Do you have chronic inflammation? Try to get that inflammation under control. Just doesn't seem to happen. Muscle aches, stiffness. Hello, isn't that a symptom of Parkinson's? You have overall a weakened immune system. You probably are, especially during the season of the flu season, you're constantly sick. Your hormones are not in balance. Okay, hello, isn't that Parkinson's? An imbalance in the hormone system. Now, I think this is one of the big, big clues as to a candida overgrowth, and that is chronic fatigue. You are feeling constantly tired and exhausted. It's also something called adrenal fatigue, if some of you have actually heard of that. So I have conversations with people often, and then they'll say, you know, I have to take 4 or 5 naps a day. What in the world is happening? Well, chances are the real culprit winds up being a candida overgrowth. Now, again, that's not the only factor that could be contributing to this, but boy, I would put that at the top of the list. Obviously, if there's a candida overgrowth, there can also be intestinal distress. There can be digestive issues, bloating, gas, and especially constipation, diarrhea, nausea, acid reflux, all sorts of digestive issues that, again, are oftentimes implicated for persons experiencing Parkinson's symptoms. You can have a leaky gut, as many of you have now, I know, heard about. You can also have lots of allergies and food sensitivities. And, of course, finally, you can have sinus problems and sinus infections. So this is a long way of saying I'm trying to give you a pitch to follow up from Debbie's email to take this possibility seriously. So, okay, you can just say, well, okay, great, I'll do a candida cleanse. That seems to make sense. I'll take maybe some pills or a few herbs, and that'll do the trick. Well, Here's the tough part of my presentation. Candida cleanses are really difficult to have success with. And let me explain the reason. So what happens is that when we're talking about candida, we're not talking about rocks and stones. We're talking about a living entity. I mean, these little fungi are living entities in our bodies. All right, so you got millions and millions of them. They're all in the wrong places. They're taking over your consciousness. So think about it this way. They do have a consciousness, and that consciousness is all of a sudden controlling you. You are not in control. They are in control. So you may think, well, come on, give me a break. These little critters, how can they have thought forms that will all of a sudden take control over what I want to do and the decisions that I need to make for myself? Well, think about it this way. Many of you I know have pets. You have dogs or you have cats. And I'm guessing that you have a way of communicating with those animals. You can talk with them telepathically. So in the end, I'm trying to suggest that any living critter, whether it is an animal, a bug, an ant, a dog, a wild animal, a plant is also a living entity, they do have a sense of consciousness. And so when there's a lot of them, guess what? That consciousness all of a sudden becomes us. So the difficulty is, because that consciousness is so strong, what is that consciousness of a candida overgrowth screaming out to you? Of course, they're not vocally screaming this, but telepathically, they are telling you, eat more sugar. You see, that's what they feed on. That's what they live on. The more sugar you give them, the more they multiply, then the happier they are. So in the end, the difficulty with candida cleanses is that it requires a sugar-free diet. Now, these days, that is totally and completely a challenge for everyone. And if you don't think so, go to the grocery store and randomly choose any product and look at the ingredients. Chances are the second or first or third ingredient will be, of course, sugar. So sugar is now plastered into pretty much every packaged product imaginable. So in the end, the difficulty with the candida cleanses is that the little critters that are occupying and overwhelming our body are screaming out to us, more sugar, so we get addicted to sugar and we just can't stop it. That's a really tough emotional issue to confront, let me tell you. Now, there are, if you go onto the internet, lots of recommendations on ways that you can approach a candida diet. You know, take some herbs, take this pill, take that supplement, a combination of whatever. I mean, you'll find dozens of different approaches for candida diets. The truth is that the one that really is the most successful is a sugar-free diet. And those are really strict. I mean, you really can't eat pretty much anything. So when you think of sugar, remember, we're not just talking about the raw sugar. We're talking about issues of eating lots of carbs. So, okay, you love chips, and I know I do too. If you're eating a lot of chips, those chips are being converted into sugar, and that is what's feeding the candida overgrowth in your body. So you have to eliminate pretty much the ingestion of lots of carbohydrates in the form of chips and some vegetables. And then you also have to reduce significantly the ingestion of meat products. Because again, if you eat a lot of protein, and that's going to convert over into sugar as well. So if you like meat, you have to limit the quantity of meat that you actually consume. So candida diets typically drop out pretty much everything probably that you'd love to eat. You have to become like a nun or a monk and eat sparingly for at least 6 weeks. Is that a difficulty? Is that a challenge? You betcha. And most people can stick with that a few days and say, I just can't do this anymore. But if you're serious about getting well, it really is something. It's a step that you really do have to take. You have to discipline yourself to say, this is not going to be easy. I know I'm going to have cravings for sugar each and every day. And so I just have to decide I'm going to be in control, not these little critters that are screaming out to me, feed me, feed me, feed me. So just think of a bird who all of a sudden has 6 little chicks that she has birthed, and her job and his job, if he's the guy and if they're a pair of birds that both contribute to feeding the little critters, they're there in the nest and they're screaming out, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. I mean, that's all the parents hear. Well, that's what you're hearing when you've got a candida overgrowth. So in the end, keep in mind, candida or yeast, it's something that's in our body. We're never going to get rid of all of it. We don't want to get rid of all of it. The key is there's too much of it, and it begins to overwhelm who we are and what we are and what we can actually become. So candida is a fascinating subject, and again, it's one that I know you probably have not even considered or thought about as a factor that's contributing to fatigue or mobility challenges or even ability to speak or sweating or you name it. Now, it's not the only factor, obviously. It's not the only cause. But I would suggest that given what I've been able to document, it clearly can be a huge factor. So in the end, if you do have enduring fatigue, I would suggest take this possibility very, very seriously. In the end, you can take lots of supplements, lots of, you know, beef up my energy kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is you're going to continue to be fatigued until you can address the problem of candida. That's the long-term enduring problem. And, of course, if you continue to consume lots of carbs or sugars, that's also going to be something that's going to sustain the problem of the fatigue. I know it's going to be difficult. I don't know of anybody who's done a candida cleanse that would say, oh, it's a piece of cake. It's no problem at all. You just take these pills or this supplement, or Dr. So-and-so said, hey, just do this and we'll, you know, make it good to go. That's really not the way it works. And of course, the other challenge with candida cleanses is it's the candida, the yeast is, and the toxins are not just housed in the digestive system. They're not just in the small intestine or in the colon. They're all over the body. So how do you get to a yeast or a candida overgrowth that winds up being in the midbrain or in the back of your neck or on your little toe? Well, that's not exactly a simple kind of a thing. The bottom line is there is an answer, and you have to starve them. And how do you starve them? You just don't give them any sugar. So that's the tough part of being able to address this as a problem. So I think a lot of people will say, okay, I probably do have a candida overgrowth, but when they really look to see what you have to do in order to be able to address it, it really does take a great deal of discipline, focus, and commitment, and long term. So you can't just do a cleanse for a week or two. That's not going to be long enough. You're not going to be able to tame down the huge population of candida with just a couple of weeks of a cleanse. You really have to stick with it a minimum of 6 weeks. So you can go on to the internet and you'll see some listings of various candida cleanses, and they are all going to be foods that have no sugar. And finally, I would say the following. Oftentimes when I'm talking with people, I obviously always want to ask, well, how's your diet? And a person will oftentimes say, well, I'm pretty good with sugar, pretty good. I do, unfortunately, have some relapses, and there's certain kind of sweet products that I really love. Well, of course, that's true for all of us. Hello, everybody can raise their hand. But if candida is a problem, I'm sorry, you can't relapse. You can't just say, well, I'll give myself a break today. I've been on the cleanse for 6 days, so I need to be able to have something to energize myself. Well, that's great rationale. I've used it myself oftentimes. And of course, I didn't break the diet. But if you want to do, and if you want to get serious about a candida cleanse, you really have to just say, okay, I probably am going to be tormented by the urge to eat some of these foods that are my comfort foods, but I've got to be able to avoid that if I'm going to be able to get this population under control. And in the end, of course, it's also the case that you can't just do the cleanse for 6 weeks and say, okay, I can just eat all the sugar products and sweets that I want to, eat all the carbs that I want to. And, of course, the reason is quite obvious. Well, remember, you still have the yeast. You still have the candida present in your body. So they're going to begin to eat up all of that and multiply very quickly, and you'll have, again, the problem of the overgrowth. So how can you monitor this yourself? Well, obviously, there are wonderful naturopath doctors and some medical doctors that are able to really monitor this for you very successfully. I say, and this is always my preference, well, do it yourself, and that is look at your tongue. And if your tongue is got some whitened structure to it, well, it's more than likely a candida overgrowth. So you want a nice red tongue, and you want to use that tongue scraper to be able to see, well, am I scraping off some gunk on my tongue? If you are, then candida is very, very likely to be a significant problem for you and probably for your loved ones as well. So in the end, that's my discussion, and I think in the end, to give you a little encouragement to take this seriously, keep in mind that the key to being able to succeed with any recovery program is to take control. If somebody else is controlling your decisions, then you're going to really struggle with having any success with a recovery program. If somebody else is telling you what to do, it's very similar to what happens when we're traumatized. We're not in control when we're traumatized. So you want to move out of that dynamic. You want to move into being in control, and you want to just realize and have the mantra, I will be in control of my decisions and my life, rather than allowing these living yeast entities, these millions and billions of these little living entities in my body to control me. And of course, candida is not the only living entity in your body. You got lots of living entities. They all have a consciousness, and they can also affect what we think and the decisions that we actually make. So we're just really focusing on the problem of the candida in this presentation that I just offered to you today. So that's my response to this really fascinating email question from a member. And again, as a final summary, remember, I do have all of those meditations on a candida cleanse. And again, the idea there is I'm just suggesting that you can approach this in different ways to be able to see if you can't then discipline yourself with being able to take the cleanse seriously. If, in fact, you find that a candida overgrowth winds up being one of your very specific issues. So I just checked the chat room, and I don't see anyone who's connected in and has offered any kind of other topic you'd like to cover or any specific questions or follow-ups given the discussion that we just had here in our gathering today. So let me move instead over to our call-in list. And let me open up the phone line here to Bill. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Hey, Robert. How are you?
Hey, well, it's good to hear your voice. Doing pretty well, all things considered. So how about you?
Okay. A little preoccupied with the civil disturbance that was going on last night here in Los Angeles.
Oh, there was a lot going on?
Yeah, the Fairfax neighborhood is basically our neighborhood, so it's pretty nearby.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Bill, has that settled down yet?
Well, hopefully. I mean, most of the bad stuff went on after dark, so we'll see tonight. They've got a lot more law enforcement presence, I think. And even National Guard now for tonight. So,
oh, no.
You know, it's nothing to do with Parkinson's. It's just one more thing to worry about.
Well, yeah, and of course it creates intense anxiety. And, of course, as we all know, the more intense the anxiety, the more the symptoms will flare up. So it's not
right.
Directly connected to the physical entity, but boy, does it sure affect how you feel about everything.
Yes, you know, you have Parkinson's, and everybody's concerned about this virus thing on top of that. Now we have civil disorder all over the United States, so that's kind of a lot for every. I'm not just complaining for myself, but for everybody.
Exactly. It affects absolutely all of us, as if we don't have enough to deal with this problem of the virus. All of a sudden now we have a second huge, huge development that's occurred to just compound the anxiety that everybody is feeling. And you can really just walk outside and feel the anxiety that's in the air.
Yes, that's true. And some people are more sensitive to that than others, but I've had many people say that to me, the sort of palpable feeling that you get either just from the environment or from another individual, or just sets off sort of primitive alarms in your brain.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And some people, as you say, are just so sensitive that they can almost not even tolerate being here on the earth. It's just so difficult, especially when you have problems of the infections and the fear for that, and then the disobedient civil actions, the anger that's expressed, and all of that is just too much for some people. It really is.
Right. So, you know, what I've tried to do is, of those three things, Parkinson's at least offers, you know, with the help of people like yourself, some tools that an individual can do that will make it better, or hopefully make it better. So there's not a whole heck of a lot that one individual can do against the COVID virus. But with Parkinson's, at least you can take small steps, take actions that you think are sensible, and try and make progress against that. So that's some consolation.
It is, isn't it, Bill? And of course, what you just said emphasizes being able to take positive action rather than going into fear.
Right. If you just sit around and fret about something, it's not going to get any better.
No, as I mentioned, I guess at the very outset of our gathering today, I've been spending just every day, hours and hours, going back sometimes 5, 10 years and listening to some of the many interviews I've done with these wonderful healthcare practitioners and people with Parkinson's, and listening to their wisdom and then capturing some of these bites of wisdom that I want to be sure to include in some of these online courses. And the theme that I hear over and over, which is really interesting, and this comes from some of the really well-known practitioners, healthcare practitioners, and some people with Parkinson's who've been very successful. The theme is, okay, you have to take action. You have to do something. And
right.
I thought that's interesting. And it's almost as if some of them say, you know what, it doesn't matter a whole lot actually what a person chooses. But if they just say, wait a minute, instead of just sitting around on the couch and looking at the TV and getting upset about whatever's going on, I'm going to then choose to do this method, this technique, this therapy. I'm going to take some action. I'm going to do something differently today. And what everybody seems to say is that just makes a huge difference, because all of a sudden you're put into a positive place, a positive state of mind. You're taking positive action. You're moving forward rather than being stagnant or even moving backward. So that's kind of a common theme that I keep hearing over and over again. So I keep thinking, okay, how can I introduce this idea in courses in a different way and convince people? Because the interesting thing, Bill, I've noticed is in talking with so many people, a lot of people will say, well, I've been looking on the internet and I've been looking at all of the interviews you've done and the ideas and your posts, et cetera, et cetera. There's just so many ideas. I keep reviewing this idea and that idea. And so I'll kind of explore with, okay, well, how long have you been searching? Well, it's been about 3 years now. I know I've looked over a lot of puzzles, but I can't decide on what's the best one. Then they'll say to me, well, which one should I do? And I'm thinking, I don't have a clue what's going to be the right choice for you, but I do know that it's in time for you to make a choice to start somewhere, you know, do something. Do something for yourself that you think might help. And if the person can then just get started with that, then they're on their way. They'll find that that'll probably help some or a lot, and then they'd be able to embrace some other approaches. So I'm just piggybacking on your point, Bill, to say that's my experience too, is just to say, okay, we're in a funk. This is not a good time. Never experienced anything like this in my life. I don't know what's happening to the world, but hey, I know what I can do. I can take some action right now to be able to improve my situation and my family situation. So that's what I'm going to do.
Right, because if you give yourself some measure of empowerment or control, that's helpful. That's helpful in itself.
I really so believe that too, Bill. And what I realized a few years ago was I'd been talking about trauma for so many years, because when I started doing the research on this, I could see that trauma was a factor for a lot of people. You know, trauma, whether it's a physical impairment or an accident or a disease, or whether trauma is emotional or mental, doesn't matter what the source is, but trauma was huge. I could really, really see that the problem with trauma is we're not in control. You know, it's what is hitting us. It's what's coming at us. And so we are totally out of control. So if you're in an automobile accident, well, there's a very good chance you had nothing to do with that. You just all of a sudden, blam, you're injured. Or if you are a child and you're being mentally abused by a parent, well, they're coming at you and nothing you can do. You're not in control. You're too small to be able to come back or do anything about it. So in the end, if we're not in control, we are constantly and continuously re-traumatizing ourselves. We're going back into the very same place of all of a sudden being attacked or assaulted in one way or another. So being able to move out of that energy, and instead of re-traumatizing ourselves moment to moment, day in and day out, we say to ourselves, oh, forget all that. I'm the one that's in control. I'm the one that's going to make the decision. So I'm not going to be saying to somebody else, you decide for me. Rather, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to make the decisions. And boy, when that happens, things really begin to shift.
Yeah, I think that's really key to, particularly at the beginning, getting a start on it. If people are paralyzed by the possibilities, I would say just pick one to start with that seems like it might be conducive to the way you approach other things.
Exactly. Whatever that is. I mean, whatever that is. I know on these classes that I've been developing for these three courses, I'll all of a sudden grab a hold of an idea that somebody else has suggested. Maybe I've got a video of them, or it comes from, you know, some source. So I'll develop the content for the course, and I think to myself, you know, this is not something that I would want to do, but I bet somebody else would. So I think, all right, I'm not going to just post some ideas that I think are the ones that are going to work for me. Obviously, there's a lot out there that I would not want to embrace, but others would. So it's really, I think, a question of realizing there's a lot of choices out there. And so you just have to figure out which ones are going to work for me. You know, the other thing I think, what's interesting about this is, again, given the over thousands of people that I've talked with in trying to address these kinds of problems, a lot of people have this idea, okay, for me to get well, I've got to go out and get a therapy, or I've got to get a therapist, or I've got to take a pill, or I've got to pay some money to be able to make this happen. But boy, when I really look at the different approaches, a lot of them, I'm sorry, don't cost any money at all. They're just things that somebody has to do. So that's taking action. So as I see it, even if a person says, okay, these are hard times. I've lost my job. I don't have any income. My bank account is in the negative. It's in the red. I can't do anything. Well, that's not true. There are, and again, my idea for all these online courses is to make sure that I intersperse lots of ideas of actions people can take. And I'm sorry, you don't have to do anything other than just do something for yourself. And doesn't cost any money at all. So taking some action, whatever it is, like we've been saying here for the last few minutes, I think it's huge. It's absolutely huge.
Now, I think you said at one point you've done over 200 interviews, radio interviews.
Oh, no, it's more than that. It's 275. Over the last 10 years.
Okay.
And they're all on the radio, so I pay a fortune every year to make sure those are available for replays for everybody to listen to at any time. And about 75 of the interviews are with persons that have a diagnosis of Parkinson's, and they tell their story about what they did to get well. And some of them are symptom-free, and many of them are not, but they've been able to address their issues to the extent to which their life force has been fully re-energized. You know, they're back online, so to speak. So they are, each person that I interview that has Parkinson's tells their story about, well, what they realized, what they did, how they interfaced with the different options, which ones they chose, which ones worked, why they did them, what recommendations they would make to somebody just diagnosed. That's kind of the gist of those interviews. And then the bulk of the interviews are with all these big variety of healthcare professionals who know something about Parkinson's, who deal with people who have these Parkinson's symptoms. So my idea in being able to recruit guests on the radio show that are healthcare practitioners is to find people who approach this with lots of different technologies and methods and therapies. And so we get, boy, we've had interviews with pretty much, I think, every possible different approach you could imagine. So some of them, of course, are more medically oriented, but a lot of them are not. Some of them are sort of in the psychology area. Some of them are more in the energetic area. Some of them are new inventions of one type or another. So my idea is we're going to go out there and find out anything that might help people. And then hopefully people can listen to that idea and think, oh, that's really interesting. I ought to try that. And then they will. And then, of course, the other wonderful idea that I have is, okay, you had something. And yeah, boy, actually, there was a whole series of radio show interviews I was able to pull off a couple of weeks ago, and there were several of the interviews where somebody was saying, okay, this has just been introduced in the United States. It was widely used in Europe, but, you know, it's just here now. So obviously we don't have any widespread reports from people who've actually used it, and there's no research that pertains to the use of that and Parkinson's. One of them was called C60. And so I was hoping, okay, there's the presentation. The man who was the presenter was, boy, he was a real scientist talking about knowing his stuff. I was really impressed. So I thought, okay, boy, I'm crossing my fingers that people who listen to that interview are going to be called out to explore that as an option. And then I'll be able to hear back from them. Okay, how did it go? What was your experience? And so we'll be able to have some at least anecdotal documentation of whether or not that's going to help or not. So my feeling is, okay, what's going to call out to you? Keep listening to those radio show interviews, and if all of a sudden you get a surge of interest of that's interesting, well, why not take action on that and see if it's going to help? It helps somebody else. It may help you.
Yeah, well, you've done an outstanding job over the years talking to those people and getting information out of them. I think it's great that you're creating this sort of synopsis approach of going through them and pulling out segments related to a specific topic, because that's very helpful with somebody coming from the outside looking for information about a specific topic.
Bill, I so much appreciate that comment, because that was my thought too. I realized I had really only have one feedback that is consistent and negative. It's really primarily positive, but the feedback that was critical is it's too much information. It's too much overwhelm. You know, I can't process this. I've even had people to say it's so much. It's great information. I know that if I could just stick with it, I'd be able to find something that helped, but I just can't. I can't process all of this. And so I thought, okay, we'll create these online courses and we'll have a real focus to each of the classes, so that instead of listening to a radio show interview that lasts an hour and the person has sort of gone over maybe 10 different topics, you know, 10 different ideas or approaches, we'll just focus on one. And so the person can look at that and digest that for themselves, look at the research if there's any, and then decide, okay, is this something that I need to do or not? And then finally, that's all they need to do that day. They don't have to, you know, listen to any other interview with this particular person or wherever the idea came from. That was my idea, and it sounds like it might be helpful not only to you but to others as well.
I think absolutely. And, you know, I think one other thing that people ought to keep in mind is I really think it's for each individual, it's going to be a process, and it's very unlikely that you'll find one thing that's going to fix all your Parkinson's problems. It'll help, if you're lucky, it'll help a little bit with something. And then you just have to keep going with the process and find something else that you can add to it.
I'm so glad you said that, Bill, because that's my observation as well as a researcher. And I get so many inquiries from people who might have just discovered Parkinson's recovery. And, of course, my contact information is all over the Internet. So I'll get calls, and they'll say, oh, my name is so-and-so, and I was diagnosed a year ago. And so what do you recommend? And, of course, they're just asking, what one thing can they do to be able
right.
to, you know, fix the problem? It's like, oh, gosh, I so wish I'd be able to have an answer to that, but there isn't an answer today, and there never will be an answer. So those are difficult conversations because, of course, the reality is, first of all, there are a lot of choices. Second of all, depends on what's causing their factors. And, of course, third, and most importantly, well, what calls out to them? What are their preferences? You know, what would they prefer to explore, given their lifestyle, given their history, given their background, given their education? You know, what do they want to do? And so when a person asks me that, I'm quite frankly, Bill, I'm at a loss as to exactly how to respond. And I have to confess, a lot of those conversations when people will ask me, and I suppose if I knew how to make money, you know, I would say, oh, yeah, you buy this and you'll get well. You know, I suppose they would go, oh, okay, great, I'll go get it. But unfortunately, that's not the case and never will be the case. And something in my stomach just doesn't allow me to do that kind of a thing. So I wind up sort of telling them in a wishy-washy way, well, I'm sorry, but there is no one thing, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the last I hear from them. You know, it's like, oh, well, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, so we'll just give up on this. And
I guess they're not looking for honesty. They're looking for
no, that's right. That's right. They want somebody to fix them. They want a quick solution. And I've wanted that, too, in my life. When, you know, when you're not feeling well, you want something that will really help you, you know, get back to normal quickly. So I understand that attitude, that question. I share it. I've had that myself. And I wish there would be something that would really be the magical answer. But unfortunately, again, I just said it, but I'll say it again. It's not the case now. There's not going to be all of a sudden this instant discovery of, oh, here's the solution. Get this pill, right. Get this medicine, get this supplement, and, you know, you're going to get well. It's never going to happen. But what will happen is the more that we have options for people to choose natural kind of options, or even it could be prescription medicines. There may be some that will help to a certain extent. It will be the case that people using a combination of those approaches will find they can really get sustained relief from their symptoms, whatever they might be. So I think it's a question of people just taking charge, taking control, and being able to make their own life choices. And when you do that, you really begin to have a successful journey down the road to recovery. And that's just what you've been doing.
Yeah, you just have to keep at it. And it's kind of a process of elimination. If you try something and it doesn't work, fine, just walk away from it and try the next thing. And eventually you'll have kind of a bundle of things that all work a little bit to get you where you want to go.
And then finally they accumulate up to the point where, whoa, this really is making a big difference. I really notice
right.
that I'm so
right.
much better.
I think that's
yeah.
the best approach.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. I hope everybody's listening to your wisdom, Bill. Because it seems to me that's been my experience as well, is you just do it little by little. And as frustrating as that is, and as is the case, people really want to feel better quickly. That, in summary, I think is why the medical community does what it does. A lot of people are so critical where they just suppress symptoms. But if you look at what most people want, what they want is to go to somebody and they prescribe, in this case, a medicine. They take the medicine, and they're better. That's what people want. You know, it's like, well, that's what the medical community does, is that's what the market demands. I mean, we are in a society where we're going to respond to the market demand, and that's what people want. So to have to be able to all of a sudden move away from your regular routine of living, which may be a demanding job or family responsibilities, and you say, I'm going to have to begin to take a lot of time myself to be able to sort this through. A lot of people just don't make that shift. And unfortunately, because of the nature of the decisions that they may actually begin to get worse and worse rather than better and better.
Well, that's the bad thing about it, because it's understandable that they are hoping for that and they're thinking that way. But in the long run, they're just hurting themselves.
Right. That's the case. Unfortunately, that's the case. And of course, the idea of feeling better quickly means that, yeah, there are some possibilities to make that happen. And we even document those in some of the courses, but they're just temporary. It's like, you can feel better for a few hours or maybe even for half a day. But unfortunately, you have to keep doing that same thing over and over again. And then, unfortunately, that creates problems in itself, as you well know. So that's not a long-term fix. It's really not. And actually, it's interesting we're talking about this because when we're talking about the issue of candida, there's no quick or easy fix to that, as I just described. Despite what anybody will try to argue out there on their medical practice websites or any kind of a set of recommendations of supposedly a fix to candida, it's not simple. It really isn't. It takes quite a bit of commitment to be able to address that as a problem.
That's a tricky one for sure.
It really is. It's really tricky. And the more I think about it, I think it's just the cleverness of these living entities. You know, they're going to survive whatever. It's like there's a lot that we can do to try to get them under control, but they want to multiply. They want to survive. And so it's a real battle. It really is.
Right. Well, thank you for all the information you provided. It's been helpful to countless numbers of people. And I know it's a little bit of a labor of love for you, but I think you should really be commended for your consistent effort over the years.
Thank you for those kind words, Bill. They really mean a great deal and gives me enough fuel and energy and motivation to forge ahead with being able to create new ideas, new approaches for people to consider. And thank you, by the way, for connecting in so that we can have this conversation. We have quite a few members, but most of them, I think, like to listen to the replays rather than connect in to, live here to our sessions. But it's so wonderful to have conversations with you almost every month. So I'm greatly appreciative of that.
Well, I'm happy to do it, and it's been useful to me. And if it's been hasn't been any use to you, I'm happy.
Well, me too. So that makes us both happy men, to be sure. So I'm just checking in with the chat room, hoping we would have had, for those of you who are connecting in through your computers, some comments or reflections or additional issues that you wanted to be sure and us to discuss during our gathering today. And don't see anybody who's entered anything into the chat room. And don't see anybody who's entered anything into the Q&A field. So let me be clear with everyone here who's connecting in live, as well as those of you who are listening to the recording. If issues come up for you, email me. Let me know what's up. My whole goal here is to be a support person, a resource person for you. So oftentimes I'll get emails. Well, I remembered I listened to an interview with so-and-so. Could you give me the link? Or I have this particular issue. Do you have some suggestions of how I might approach this? And I'm happy to respond to whatever it is. And, of course, if you have topics you'd like for us to discuss at any of these support group gatherings, please just let me know. Now, when you see on the member website the support group page, of course, I'll list then the link for the support group gathering in June. This is May, and that's what's posted now. But once we conclude this, I'll be able to get onto the page and renew that with a new link to the page. You can always submit a question on that page anytime during the month. So you don't have to think I've got to wait for an actual class to be able to ask a question or to have a topic discussed. You can do that right on the page. You can email me. You can call me. I'm here to be able to provide some support and services to you on your journey down the road to recovery. There are always questions and issues that come up. There are always challenges and issues that need to be resolved. So if you'd like to be able to get my perspective on whatever you're confronting, I'm happy to offer that. Of course, it's a perspective as a researcher, not as a medical doctor. And as we just discussed with Bill, well, there are no easy solutions. There are no quick fixes, but there are some approaches that I might be able to suggest that you'll find will be really supportive of your journey down the road to recovery. Well, let me thank each and every one of you who have connected in here to become a Parkinson's recovery member. And I want to just say it really makes such a huge difference to my ability to continue offering these services. It costs a fortune every month to be able to pay all the expenses to be able to make these services available for free to so many people across the globe. So your contributions of the $10 every month really do provide the ability to help subsidize the many expenses that we have to incur to be able to provide these free services. So I just want to thank each and every one of you for making that contribution and supporting the work that we actually do. We don't do any advertising, as you probably have seen on any of the websites. We don't ask anybody ever for any donation. I feel as though if anybody is going to make a contribution to Parkinson's recovery, we're going to provide some service or support in return. So then my feeling is the healthy thing to do is to have an exchange. So that's the design that we had for this whole effort, and I appreciate your willingness to be able to engage in that trade-off of my being able to provide support for you, and in return, you're providing an ongoing support to me. It makes just a great deal of difference. As a reminder, we talked a lot about Candida today. Don't forget to visit the member websites each and every weekday, as well as at least once every week, because we've got this week meditations on recommendations for a Candida cleanse that I've recorded. So please connect in, and if Candida issues are an issue for you, that's a resource that's going to be available to you beginning Monday, tomorrow, this next week. Let me check in to see if we've got any other chat room discussions. Looks like not. So I guess we've covered the topics that we wanted to be sure and cover here in our May Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering. I thank each and every one of you again for being a supporter of what we do here at Parkinson's Recovery. And that's what's happening here on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and, of course, all of the children are profoundly loved. And know that by virtue of the simple fact that you have joined as a Parkinson's Recovery member, that you have connected in and listened to this particular support group gathering and our discussions today, that in your own way, in your own time, using your own decisions and your gut instincts and your best intuition about decisions you need to make, that you are journeying down the road to recovery. You're finding the best choices for you that will really make a difference in terms of your long-term health and the help of your entire family system. So thanks so much for connecting in. It means everything to me. We look forward then to connecting with you, if not earlier, 1 month from today, where we'll be convening in the very last part of June for our June Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering. Thanks so much for being here today.